accession number 27193, Reel 2.
Company Sergeant Major Conn, Reel 2. I think you were telling me that there was another incident when you were at Leinster.
Yeah, outside the billet we were lined up, and there used to march us through Leinster to the Rumney, big Rumney, what they call it, which is the dining room. And a chap at the back of me, I was in the front bank, and a chap at the back pushed me, you know, and I turned around and I said, look, stop playing about. And this Lance Corporal came up to me, and he gave me, oh, he really got onto me about it. And all the way we were marching to the one, he kept on to me all the time. Anyway, I just ignored it. After having our meal, we marched back again, and the same thing happened again. He kept on to me. I said, so I turned around and I said, why don't you get off my back? I said, leave me alone. Well, when we got back, and we halted, and they dismissed us. And at that time, the Lance Corporal got on to the full corporal, old A.T. Cohen, his name was. Beetle-browed fellas, corporal, came from Silvertown, you know, in London.
In the East End.
In the East End, yeah. So, anyway, as we going into the billet, he tripped me up.
The corporal
tripped me up, and I went down, and I had a mug which had broke, and I turned round, bang, and I hit him straight into the stomach. Down he went, like a floating balloon. And just then a sergeant came down the stairs. His name was Peddler Palmer. And he stuttered a bit, you know. He wasn't a sergeant like the normal sergeants they have. You know, he was very easygoing somehow. And he wanted to know what happened. And this Barton turned around and said, told him what happened. Well, he didn't want to make any charges. He didn't like making charges out. So he just forget the whole idea. Then the starless foreman, a boxing team within the company. And one of them says, hey Mick, your name's on there. I said, well, I didn't volunteer for that. So anyway, I had to go up and see the Sergeant Major, who was lined up in the front of his office. And he went round the long room and he tried to find out what different people knew. What do you know about boxing? Well, I've done a little boxing here, sir, with a little boxing there. Came to a chap from Birmingham, sleepy eye, a fella called Waite. Have you? He says, yes, sir, I've done a bit of boxing. So he came up to me, he said, well, have you done boxing? I said, nothing. My old man always told me, he said, never volunteer anything, son, you know. So he said, what do you know about boxing? I said, nothing. Went all the way along the line, and of course, at the finish, made a crude suggestion. He says, well, boxers, he said, I've shit them, just like that. And that was it. So anyway, I goes in. And haven't been only a lightweight, by the way, boxers are lightweight. Got on the scales, and I came off as a middleweight.
Did you put on weight?
No.
And they fixed it?
They fixed it. The corporal and the colour sergeant, Charnley, his name was. And that was for me to get a hiding. So anyway, I went into the boxing ring, and I fought the one. And he was a corporal out of the drums, and I knocked him out. And because somebody said, oh, lucky punch, and that was it. So I had to fight another one, and his name was Pompadour Reed. He came from Grays. And what an awkward character he was. He used to box, and he turned around the wrong way, you know, and I used to stand back and wait for him, and I hit him. Down he went. And then, after the fight, the second in command, Major Sir Mence, came up to me, and he said, Conn, the commanding officer had been looking at you, he says. To be a middleweight, he says, you must be solid. Come with me. Took us down to what they call it, on the scales. 9 stone 7. He went berserk. He got hold of the colour sergeant, and I think he demoted him, you know. And went back, and Ike Cohen, he got a severe reprimand. And from that day onwards, I had no more trouble. No more trouble at all. And I went through, and I won the brigade championships, division championships. And I would have gone into the army championships, and I went to Oswestry, and I had the flu at that time. And I couldn't take part. And the chap who took us was an ex-professional fighter, Busty Baldwin. who was a professional fighter in his early days and fought against Larry Gaines and people like that. Mm. He was a good lad, good corporal. But anyway, that stopped me from winning the Army Championship, because I know I would have won.
How did you take to the discipline generally, you know, from first stages onwards? Did you find it difficult to...
At first it was hard, you know what I mean? But, like everything else, which is another instance, which I had at the depot. I walked across the square, which is holy ground. And of course, the RSM came in, and he called me all the names under the sun. And I replied, got onto him, I said, don't you call me that. And I squared up to him. And I got put in the nick. And the provost sergeant came in there, and of course, you know, these latrine buckets, big ones, you clean that. So I cleaned it, and he came in later on. And he looked at it, he said, not clean enough. And he had a wee in it. He said, now get that clean. I said, you want that clean? Clean it yourself. Bit of a rubber. And of course, he went to have a go at us, and I hit him as well, put him down. And the corporal came in, and I was back to the wall, and I was going to fight him. I was that way. But anyway, I eventually was overcome. And I did now get a hiding from them, I can tell you. I had to go to the first aid centre. I mean, ribs were aching. Oh, God, I had a tremor. From that day forward, anybody give me a word of command, I was there. The cloud of dust feet together. I never retaliated again. That learnt me a lesson. That learnt me a lesson. I had to curb my temper, you know. So...
Were there others who, like you, who found it difficult to actually knuckle?
Well, there's a lot of them, yeah. You used to find them sometimes, you used to be in the barrack room, and you used to be crying, you know, because a lot of them had never left home, not like me. The hard life I'd had in the north, it hardened me to a lot of things, you know, to stand up to this sort of thing, and that was it. But I got on all right at the finish.
When you were at Kington, when you joined the 2nd Battalion in the tented camp, what happened to you? Were you put into a platoon as soon as you arrived?
Oh, yes. Yeah. I was in 13 Platoon.
Mm-hmm. And what were 13 Platoon doing while you were at the tented camp?
We did a lot of training.
What sort of training?
Oh, field training, going out into what you call it, exercises, field exercises, and things like that, route marching. We did all types of training, you know.
What scale of field exercises were you doing? Was it battalion?
Whole battalion training, yes.
When did you really start learning about tactics, about the techniques of fighting?
Well, you used to have your company exercises.
Was that at Kington or was it earlier on that you started?
Well, it was at Kington, it was Kington. Later on. Yeah. Lampster as well, we used to go all over like that. We had river crossing with canvas boats and things like that, you know. Mm. And the troops, tactical exercises without troops. That's it, yeah. And we used to get lectures on that as well, you know. Because even the officers, the platoon officers, were included in that, you know, because they were on training as well. They were learning the art from the senior majors and people like that, the senior field officers.
Were these exercises opposed? Did you have part of the battalion playing enemy?
Oh, yes. Sometimes you had that, and sometimes you had the home guard up against you as well. Mm. You most likely go for a marching for about 10, 15 miles, and then you had to come up against opposition, you know, and you had to come up against the home guard. You all had to be prepared for all of that sort of thing.
What was the emphasis on when you're doing this tactical training? Was it on defensive warfare or offensive warfare?
Well, it's on both. Offensive, you know, and when you go in and you're attacked by the home guard, you're on the offensive then. Mm. But then again, you should get to somewhere that where you were in a defensive position and you were attacked by some other regiment and things like that. Because it was all on the scale of a brigade as well, you know.
Yes.
Brigade exercise and then divisional exercises.
So it's working up by stages.
It's working up all the time. And I think when Montgomery took over there, you know, and everybody had to be fit, even officers. Because when we moved from Leinster, we moved down to the south of England, and we moved to a place, Cookfield? Yeah, Cookfield. Yeah.
It's in Sussex, isn't it?
In Suffolk, yeah, near the place. There's a town there, a village there, another name for it. Mm. Anyway, was there, and I'd been training for the boxing. And I'd been in the ring and been boxing, and I came out, and I'd been constipated for a long while. And I got this pain in the stomach. And I went there and I reported sick to the sergeant of medical, what they called it that time, who was, he's a great fellow actually, a sergeant, I forgot his name. But when I went in to see him, he said, what's the matter? And I told him what happened. He said, I haven't made the way. He said, I know what's the matter with you, you're pregnant. I whacked him, knocked him over the table. And just then the doctor came in. He said, what's going on here? He said, and mind you, give me his due. He said, old Con's just been showing me a couple of what he called. He said, unfortunately, he said, I've got the wrong end of the stick. He said, all right, he said, don't horse around next time. And that was it. Mm. And I've come to his name, Duck. Oh, God, I like it. And he's known him well. Mm. But anyway, the doctor examined me on the table and he found I had appendicitis. Well, when I was whipped into hospital, it was found I had peritonitis.
It had gone too far.
Uh-huh. Mm. And it had burst. Mm. And when I got into the Cookfield Hospital, they had tubes in it and they were pumping this stuff out for us. And they even sent for my parents. Mm. They thought I would never survive, but I did. And I always remember coming out after an operation, and the doctor's coming along and she's talking to the sister, and I heard him say, this boy has got the stamina of a bull. And that was it. Anyway, I managed to get back out of it again.
You're saying that the officers were being trained as well as soldiers.
Yeah.
Can you remember who your first platoon commander was when you joined at Kington? Did you have an officer, or
yes,
was it a...
No, because at that time the new rank had come in, because you used to have the platoon sergeant majors. And Bill Bunsell was a platoon sergeant major, and then he was promoted to company sergeant major. Yeah. And we had an officer that came in and took over from us. Mm. Now, what was his name? He came to us and... he came to us and then he went to the to one of the other battalions. And I was battling for him for a while anyway. I should have known his name. But anyway, after that I had another officer who was Desmond Brown. That was an E. He was a tall, ginger-haired. He was an Irishman. Very nice fella, very nice fella. And I was in 13 platoon, by the way, from the time I joined the battalion. And I stayed in 13 platoon. I became sergeant of 13 platoon during the war. And I finished up the sergeant of 13 platoon, all the way through.
I was going to ask you about promotion. How did you get your first promotion?
Well, I got my first promotion at Leinster, made a Lance Corporal. And
how was that done? Were you just picked by the platoon commander?
Yes, of your sort of aptitude, what you're doing in training and things like that. Mm. Because I used to throw myself into it, you know what I mean? I didn't have gone on well. Not only that, I could control some of the people as well. Mm. And of course that was taken as man management and things like that. And I got promoted over. I had regular soldiers in our platoon at that time. And when I used to go and tell them to do something, they used to turn around and say, go on, bald arse, you know. And I said, do as you're told, boy, otherwise you're in. And that was it. But I got on then, I got up to full corporal shortly after. When we moved down south,
down to Cookfield,
around in that area. Mm. And I was promoted full corporal. Now, I landed on D-Day as a full corporal, in charge of one of my sections in 13 platoon. Mm. Bill Copley was my sergeant then. He was a regular soldier, and he looked very much like Ronald Coleman with a little moustache, but he was smaller. and bandy-legged. And he was taken prisoner to Brooke. And when he was on his way through Italy, him and a colleague escaped. And he made his way right back to Egypt. His man, his friend, who was badly injured, and became a bit of a hamper in him, you know what I mean? He just decided he was going to give himself up to the first person who ever came up. And he hid for 2 days. Bill Copley tried to find him, and he didn't. And he carried on. He thought, well, he's been taken by somebody. He made his way right way around to Alexandria, and he went to hospital for checkup. When he got in the hospital, his mate was in that bed next to him. And they said, how did you get away? He said, well, I said, I'll get... He said, you passed me, he said, only by inches, he said, that's nay doggo. I wouldn't let you... So he said, I was picked up by the partisans, and he said, they sent me by submarine across to Cairo. Right. Mm-hmm. And that was it. So he actually needn't have gone with on the invasion, because he's an ex-prisoner of war. Mm-hmm. He'd have been in trouble if he'd been captured the second time. Mm-hmm. But anyway, he was wounded at Tilly Cecil's, and that's when I was promoted in his place, to sergeant.
What sort of training did you do in preparation for the invasion?
Well, we had so many. They went up to, we were down to Southport, we did a commando training there. Then from there, the battalion went to Inverary in Scotland, mm-hmm. where they did the training, the off the ships, you know, invading the, what they call it, the Inverary and all that.
Just amphibious.
Amphibious, mm-hmm. yeah, all that sort of training. Mm-hmm. They've got some of the people coming down on these rope lines, and because you used to get stuck, they wouldn't move, you know what I mean? Somebody had to go down there, you know, release the fingers, make sure they get
Well,
out.
They were panic stricken on
them. Oh, yeah, some of them scared of heights and things like that. Yes. But anyway.
Was this when you were getting from the ship into the landing craft?
That's right, into the landing craft, yeah. But, there's a lot of incidents happened there, you know, and you used to get some laughs. But it was hard going, you know, and we got on well. That's it, yeah.
Do you remember earlier on the introduction of battle schools?
Well, we had our own, what they call the battle school there, you know, where they had the obstacle, what they call it,
that's what they call it. And live ammunition.
Oh, yeah, well, we did an exercise at, near Poole,
yeah,
in Dorset, mm. where we did the live exercise under fire, mm. Near Gough Castle and that place. I always remember that, you had to go up the hill, and there was live ammunition was used on that, mm. and quite a bit, and we did quite a lot of that, mm. but the obstacle courses, well, you see it on the television today, well, we were doing exactly the same things. Mm. You know, and crawling through the nets and things like that, and going through the wood and mud and everything. And it was hard, but I enjoyed it. I was fit then. I really was fit. Mm. And of course, at one time when we were at Tenby, I was, as I said, I was Lance Corporal then, and I was post corporal. But I was exceptionally fit, and I was sort of a PT instructor. You know, because before we went there, I went to Aldershot on a PT course.
Had you thought of going to the Army PT course?
Well, I went there, yes, mm. and I came out, I think, second on top out of about 15 of us, and I was recommended for the APT. And when I came back, no, boxing team, you're not going.
Who said that to you?
I came on the officer.
Ah, so the colonel didn't want to lose you.
No, he didn't want to lose me. Mm. So that was it. But I was a sort of PT instructor to help
in the battalion.
In the battalion, helping that. He used to wear the red and black shirt and that. And I did this when we were on the sands, Pendine Sands, at Tenby. And we used to have them all, the brigade. And I used to get them on the sands, the whole company and everybody, officers and everybody. And there was one particular person there who was very slack, and I said, right, throw him into the water. When they threw him into the water, it was only the brigadier. Oh, I didn't know. But he took it in good part. I said, he's slacking, get him in, throw him into the water. And they did, they grabbed him, threw him into the water. Came out as a brigadier. Oh, I said, that'll be for the high jump here. It was all taking the good part. These are little things that happened, you know, reminiscing.
When you were doing this higher training, you said that Montgomery made a difference.
Oh, yes.
And besides, I mean, he's notorious for insisting that everyone must be fit.
Absolutely.
Were there any other changes to the training you noticed after Montgomery took control of it?
Well, it was all the training, you know, which you had to go through. Everybody had to be fit and had to pass a certain standard.
Yeah.
Otherwise, they're out.
Mm. What about the tactical training and so on? Did that change when Montgomery came into the picture?
Well, you had hard training. All the training was hard. Yeah, it really was, yeah.
Before you went to Normandy, did you do any training with armoured troops or with artillery or other or aircraft on exercises?
Not really, I don't think. I can't remember. I know we did a lot of training and that, you know, and ready for the invasion.
But pure infantry.
That's right. And we did a lot of house clearing.
You did?
Yes, down in the Southampton area.
Oh, I see.
In a place called Shirley in Southampton. We did a lot of training there. That was when we moved into the woods at Booley, Camp B3.
Yes.
Oh, remember that.
What are the basic techniques you had to learn for clearing houses?
Well, as you went in there, you had to sort of go in and somebody was supporting you, you know what I mean? So always somebody to cover you all the time. Kick a door down, throw a grenade in, something like, if there's anybody in it, then dash in. And you're supporting them. Now, as you cleared one house, you carried on to the next one. But there's people on the other side who were clearing houses, and they had to show a white flag or something out that saying, this house is cleared, and you carried on all the way down.
So you're clearing both sides of the street?
Both sides of the street, as you're going down, because you had to meet. Which has happened in Tilly Cecil's. Well, I'm going ahead of my time, actually, aren't I?
You are a bit, yeah.
Yeah.
But we'll come to that. So you were in Camp B3 and you were doing street clearing.
That's right.
You'd done amphibious training.
Right,
presumably
yeah.
You'd met the Navy when you were doing that.
Yeah.
How did you get on with the Navy when you were at Inverary?
Well, you got on all right with them, yeah. They're great fellas, you know. Oh, yes, we got on well with them. And they were good in their jobs. Mm. It was, you know, really good. Oh yes, we got on all right with them.
Yeah. And besides the training in Inverary, did you do any other amphibious training before you went across the channel?
Well, as I said, before that, when we were at Leinster, we used to river crossing with Campbell's boats and things like that.
That's not the same thing as a sea assault, though, is it?
That was sort of the thing. Which did come in handy, by the way, later on.
Of course.
In the war, Nijmegen and that, when we're there crossing the island.
Mm.
You know, we used to use rubber dinghies and things like that there as well.
I mean, you said you went to pool and you had a live firing exercise.
Yes,
was that, did you land from the sea for that? And then
Landed from the sea.
Yeah.
As you're landing, you know. You went up and you said, oh God, I remember that all right. Kept your head down.
Yeah.
Well, certainly did.
Was that a battalion exercise or a
battalion?
Battalion.
Yeah.
So you were in the camp at Bewley. How much did you know about what you were going to be doing before you set off?
We had, of course, while we were in there, we had the Yanks sort of, you know, patrolling that. And they were dishing up the food and everything, you know, and everything. We kept in there. But we were shown aerial views of where we're supposed to land and what was happening. Now, all the officers had all been briefed properly on that one, and we were given a chance to go in there and see it as well, so that we'd know exactly what was happening. You see. If an officer got killed, if the sergeant had to take over and all this sort of business, and if the sergeant got killed, corporals had to take over and everything like that. So you had to know what was happening. And you were shown this sort of diagram and where we were landing. But when we landed, there was nothing like that. Different altogether.
Did you know that it was in Normandy?
Well, we knew it was on the south coast of France.
You know it's on the coast of France?
Yes, we knew it was on the coast of France, but we didn't know exactly where it was.
Okay.
Not the name of it, actually, you know, it wasn't later on. And as I say, when we did land, it was a different place, because the sea was rough. Half the men were bloody seasick. And we were at about 5,000 yards off course, I should think, left of east of Le Hamel. And I always remember that area. And when I went back later on to find it, because I always remember a track going up from the beach after we'd crossed over, and there was a swampy part on the left of us, and there was a pillbox that had been found down on us, and one on the right as well. So I remember the place actually where we landed. And of course, when you go back today, it's different because it's all built up, a lot of it's built up and that and all.
How much warning did you have that the moment was a right, you know, was
that we're right on?
Yeah.
Well, we were waiting all the time, and then all of a sudden we got the order to move.
Yeah.
And then we went, marched down to Lymington, and we got on board the landing craft. Empathy, large. It was about what, company and a half on each one. And then as we pulled out, the sea was rough, and then we learned that it had been cancelled for one day, and we pulled into Southampton Harbour.
What effect did that have on you, that news that it was?
Well, it was all keyed up, and then sort of, you know, disappointed, and things like that, you know. And then when we pulled into the harbour, oh God, all these craft in there, you know, you had to go from across to get onto the quay side to get your grub and things like that.
Cross decking.
Across all these landing craft in order to get over. And in the sort of warehouses and things like that, they had these big vats and where you were getting the stew and that, you know, some of the chased, it tasted like diesel oil.
So it was all in stew.
All in stew. But the most thing that ever stuck in my mind then, the night before we were to sail, there was a lone voice started singing, Land of My Fathers. And then all of a sudden, everybody started joining in. And even them on the quayside started joining. But the most thing that stuck in my mind, they started harmonising. Because a lot of these Welsh people, they're down, oh, God, they can sing. And it was, you know, you got the feeling, went up the back, you know, you've got this feeling. And it was marvellous. They'd sing at the drop of a hat, these Welshmen.
So you had a Welsh battalion in the brigade?
Oh, yes, the 2nd Battalion of South Wales Borders. Then you had the 2nd Battalion of Gloucester, the 2nd Essex. All regular battalions.
Did you see anything of soldiers from those other battalions when you were working out for the invasion?
Did I?
Did you see anything of them?
Oh, yes. Yeah, we came across a lot of them in time, you know. We had a good relationship with the South Wales Borders, especially, you know. They were a damn good regiment, they were. You know, they were very good, yeah.
How did you come across them? Were there sports matches arranged, or was
We met them in different things, like in the boxing, and when the brigade boxing and things like that, you see, and we met a lot of them that way, in football, and that sort of thing. We met a lot of them. They're some great blokes. They weren't all Welshmen, mind you. But
you weren't all Essex, men,
weren't
you?
All Essex, that's right. We're a mixer.
Now, in your platoon, 13 platoon, roughly what proportion of those men that you were with were Essex men? And where did the others come from?
They're mostly Londoners. I had a lot of Cockneys in my, what do you call it, there. And some from Norfolk, Suffolk, and even Birmingham, had some from Birmingham.
Did they get on well together? Were they?
Oh yeah, we got on all right. We worked as a team. Yeah, we did. We worked all right together.
When you went across the invasion, was the platoon up to strength?
Yes, yeah, the platoon was up to strength when we went across. Yeah, yeah. And you had the three sections, you know, 10 and what they call it. I think it was about 40, wasn't it? Something like that. I forget what the
three sections and then the platoon headquarters.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. And yes, we were up to strength then, but after Essex Wood, we weren't.
So you set off then after the postponement, and you're saying that everyone was seasick. Were you seasick?
No, I wasn't seasick. We kept going, and used to help the people who were seasick keep going. You know, eventually got over it.
Yeah.
And as we had to go, as we landed, because we knew where we had to form up. Place called Hot Hot. Boo Hot.
Boo Hot,
that's it. And that is where the battalion sort of reformed together. And as we landed, I always remember the high ground, and right across the ridge, these tanks. You could see these tanks and that. And of course, you know, when the battalion was landed, they were all separate and things like that, you know. And eventually we got together at Boo Hot. And from that, Reese. On,
all right.